First of all, we beg for the blessings of Srila Prabhupada and our all-merciful previous acharyas. We beg for the blessings of the assembled Vaishnavas and for the causeless unlimited mercy of Sri Giriraj, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has appeared on this earth to bestow the highest treasure of the love of Vrindavan to all who seek refuge of his lotus feet. Today we are especially blessed by illustrious special personalities who have come. We have amongst us, sitting in a very inconspicuous and humble way, one of the most exalted Vaishnavis in the 14 worlds, Prabhupada's intimate daughter and loving devotee, Malati Devi Prabhu. Can you Can you stand up for a moment, Malati? Mataji. Everyone, let us very enthusiastically, loudly welcome Malati to our yatra. Much louder, please. Thank you. We also have an extraordinary sadhu who has very, very deep love for Vrindavan and who is one of my very dearest friends, His Holiness Dhanadhar Swami Maharaj. Can you stand up for a moment, Maharaj? As my senior, I have no right to instruct him. But we can all see your effulgence. Let us welcome Maharaj to our yatra. And also amongst us is my dear godbrother, Radhakund Prabhu, who is always a great ocean of enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness. Would you like to stand up? Everyone, let us welcome him.
Krishna praying.
Can everyone hear nicely? Hare Krishna. We read in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had one small stone or shila from the expansive form of Sri Giriraj. And he worshipped that little stone with Mahabhava, with the ultimate love that exists in all material and spiritual worlds. Because he saw that Govardhan Shila to be the body of Krishna. He could see the threefold bending form of Krishna playing his flute. He could see Krishna performing his intimate loving pastimes. Nobody should get too close to Govardhan Hill. Please keep a respectful distance. He saw the pastimes of the Lord, the form of the Lord. He saw the abode of the Lord. Because The Govardhan Shila is Krishna. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipped that Shila, he would sometimes put it in his eyes, sometimes put him on his heart. And it is explained for several years he kept that Shila always on his heart. And it was always soaked with the tears of Lord Chaitanya's devotional affection. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Govardhan Hill and he saw a beautiful stone, Mahaprabhu embraced the stone in the mood of Radharani embracing Krishna, and he wept in ecstasy. And he would never climb Govardhan Hill, because he considered it to be the body of the Lord, and it should be honored and worshipped like the deity of the Lord. Therefore, he would never place his foot on Govardhan Hill. And his followers, to this day, try to follow in his footsteps with faith. We have spoken about Sanatan Goswami, who lived at Chakaleshwar Mahadev, which we will be passing soon. If Abhiram Prabhu gives us permission, we may be able to go in to have the darshan. Let us see. He will do whatever is best for the yatra. But he would do parikrama of Govardhan every day as an act of loving worship. Worship of Krishna. Doing parikrama of Giriraj, how is it worship? Mahajano yena gatasa panta. The highest worship we can do is to follow in the footsteps of the great souls. And in this case, we are very literally following the footsteps of the great souls. And just to confirm this, the cows have come to bless us.
Go, bud.
This is the most beautiful sight in all of creation.
Take a picture of this.
Prabhu, you sit down.
Wow, this is nectar.
What was I saying? Sanatan Goswami Chakaleshwar. He taught us, following in the footsteps of Madhavendra Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Krishna himself, how to worship Govardhan by doing the parikrama. To circumambulate a great personality, keeping them on the right side, is a very, very profound act of respect. And if it is done properly with the heart, even more so. And when Sanatana Goswami was circumambulating Giriraj as an act of love, he was immersed constantly in a spirit of service to Giriraj. by hearing his glories, by chanting his names, by chanting his glories, and by completely immersing his mind in remembrance. And it's so beautiful. It's puja. There's a particular prescribed type of puja for different times and circumstances for the Lord. Just like for the deity in the temple, our puja is, we offer bhoga, we offer arti, we bathe them, we dress them, and we fan them. So many nice offerings like this in a very personal way. So the deity of Giriraj, he takes pleasure when the devotees perform the parikrama, with their minds absorbed in his loving names and pastimes, and with their hearts praying to please him through our endeavors. So Sanatan Goswami, with so much feeling himself to be the servant of Giriraj, that he committed himself every day to perform this parikrama. And he did 24-mile parikrama. Even when he was in his 80s. And Krishna felt pity on him. He was taking so much trouble just to please him, that Krishna came and gave Sri Sanatan Goswami a very nice shila that he had stepped upon and played a flute and melted it and thus imprinted it with his footprint and also his cowherd stick and a hoof of a calf. He gave that shila to Sanatan Goswami and told him, you circumambulate this 7 times and it is equal to circumambulating Govardhan Hill. So this is our Sambandha Acharya teaching us. Sri Krishna revealed one of his most beautiful pastimes, described in Srimad Bhagavatam and expanded upon by many realized souls who have witnessed this leela within the love of their hearts. I'd like to briefly share this narration with you. It is very, very auspicious and purifying to submissively and very attentively hear and speak this story at the lotus feet of Sri Giriraj Govardhan. The anniversary of this event was yesterday, Govardhan Puja. Every year, the cowherd men of Vrindavan were performing this puja for Indra. So Nanda Maharaj was directing the preparations. They were very, very grand preparations for Indra's worship. So Krishna, he saw and he asked Nanda Maharaj, what are you doing? And what do you hope to accomplish by this? And who are you doing it for? Please explain to me. There should be no secrets amongst relatives. And Nanda Maharaj told that we are cowherd men, and our livelihood is based on the cows giving milk. And for the cows to give milk, there must be nice grass. And also, our bulls are plowing the fields to grow grains. But in order for there to be grains or grass for our survival, we depend on the rain. And Indra is the Lord who provides rains. So it is a tradition for many generations amongst the Brijvasis that every year at this time we perform a puja to Indra to satisfy him so that he will give us nice rains.
Very well.
So, Krishna, he presented very nice philosophy to Nanda Maharaj. He said, it's not the demigods, it's our karma that determines our destiny. The demigods cannot give anything more than what is destined by our pious and impious activities. The ocean doesn't need rain, but it's raining on the ocean just like it's raining in our pastures. In this way, Krishna presented very nice philosophy, karma mimamsa philosophy. And he ultimately told Nanda Maharaj that actually it is Govardhan Hill and the cows that are providing our sustenance. Why should we worship this demigod Indra? We should worship Govardhan Hill, the cows, and the Brahmins. And Nanda Maharaj, who always wants to please Krishna, he said, yes, we will do according to your desire after we worship Indra. But Krishna, seven-year-old child, said, why should we waste all this energy worshipping Indra? Let us take all the paraphernalia that you are meant to use for Indra and use it to worship the cows, the Brahmins, and Giri Govardhan. And then Krishna told how to do it. First there was Anukut, wonderful offerings. And he said, and after those offerings, we should make sacred fires, and then we should feed everybody without discrimination, the Mahaprasad, and then do parikrama around Govardhan Hill. So Nanda Maharaj, for the pleasure of Krishna, took a big risk and offered all Indra's paraphernalia to the cows, the Brahmins, and Govardhan Hill. And there was big, big mountains and mountains and mountains and lakes of various types of bhoga. And then they offered. And Krishna personally assumed the form of Govardhan Hill. And everyone saw with their own eyes Govardhan Hill just personify as the Supreme Person and eat all the offerings. There was nothing left except Govardhan's hunger. And then he loudly, with the roar of a mountain, but with the sweetness of Krishna's love, called out, Hari Om!
Hari Om! Hari Om!
Give me more. There was nothing left. All the Vrijavasis were bowing down, and Krishna himself, who was also remaining as a small cowherd boy, bowed down to the glorious form of Govardhan. And ultimately, Govardhan was offered a tulsi leaf, and he was satisfied. And suddenly, everything appeared again. All the food, all the mountains of prasad and lakes of liquid prasad. Then it was distributed to everyone, to the Brahmins and to the cowherd men and to the cowherd ladies and to the aborigines and even to the animals. The prasad was for everyone. This is Giriraj prasad. And then Krishna led all the Vrijavasis in doing Govardhan Parikrama, circumambulating Govardhan Hill. It was such a glorious festival because Krishna was pleased. When you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is satisfied. When Krishna's happy, all the devotees find the ultimate bliss. It was a wonderful festival of joy. And everyone enjoyed it, except for one personality. Indra was outraged. He's the king of heaven. And as we were speaking last night at Surabhi Kund, he is very much conditioned to accept the regular worship of the Brijabasis every year, generation after generation after generation. And now this talkative little 7-year-old boy has interrupted and broken that tradition, and he's taken all the offerings meant for me and offered it to a hill. He was furious. He wanted to teach a good lesson. Dhyayato vishayan pungsang sangasangasajayate. That Krishna tells in Gita, when there is attachment, there's lust. Lust means the desire to enjoy. Gross or subtle. And when that is interrupted, anger. And from anger, bewilderment of memory. He forgot that Krishna is the Lord of his lords. His intelligence was lost, and then Indra engaged in horrible activities. He decided to destroy Krishna and Vrindavan, called for the most powerful clouds, the Samvartaka clouds that come at the time of the deluge at the end of a kalpa. And these clouds of devastation he ordered to flood and destroy Vrindavan. Suddenly the Brijavasis saw these massive black clouds forming in the sky. Now some of you have seen monsoon rain clouds, but you've never seen the clouds of devastation. There was thunder, lightning, and torrents of rain. Torrents of rain. All of the animals, the cows, and the cows were just crying out in distress. And the bulls, the rain was just pounding against the humps on their back and just splitting up, and the bulls were just looking up into the sky and roaring. Brijabasis were desperate. So they all came before Krishna. Although they believed him to be just their friend, their son, when times of distress came, they had no other shelter. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, Krishna, you are full of all opulences. You are very strong. Look at your cows are in distress, and so are we. Please help us. Krishna smiled, and he came to Sri Govardhan and performed one of the most beautiful pastimes that has ever been seen. Krishna, who was just a small 7-year-old little cowherd boy, lifted the Govardhan hill with the effortlessness of a small boy picking up a mushroom. As he lifted Govardhan Hill, there was a massive, tumultuous sound. Massive sound. As he was lifting the hill higher and higher and higher. And as the hill was being lifted, Govardhan's trees were showering flowers to proclaim Krishna's victory over Indra's pride. And little Gopal was holding the Govardhan hill with the little finger of his left hand. How insulting that is to Indra. The little finger of his left hand, that's the weakest of your fingers. He really wanted to show Indra how insignificant he was. And then Krishna invited all the Brijabasis very happily, please, everything is safe now, come. Govardhan Hill will serve as an umbrella and protect us from the rains of Indra. And all the residents of Vrindavan gathered around Krishna under Govardhan Hill. Sri Giri Govardhan appeared like a beautiful jeweled umbrella to protect the Brijabasis. They were all in circles around Krishna, gazing upon Krishna in such love. And each and every devotee, each cow, each calf, each gopa, each gopi, everyone, they were feeling that Krishna is directly looking only at me. Krishna was reciprocating with the love of each of his devotees' hearts, personally and intimately, simultaneously. The gopas were gazing at Krishna, and they were laughing in joy to see what Krishna is doing today. And they were praying, let Krishna be victorious, let Krishna always be victorious. And they were smiling and telling jokes to Krishna. And the young gopis, they were gazing upon Krishna like a chakora bird gazes upon the moon. Through their eyes, they brought Krishna into their heart and lovingly embraced him again and again and again in their hearts. All of the Brijabasis were in ecstasy. Everyone wanted to serve Krishna according to their particular relationship. The Brahmins were offering blessings. The elder gopas were just encouraging Krishna and smelling his head. And the older gopis were serving Krishna in their anxiety for his safety. Maru Mangal, who also has the name Batu, he proclaimed to Krishna, he said, "Do not have any concern or any fear, my brother." He said, "It is by my Brahman Tejas that this hill is being upheld." He said, "With my power as a Brahman, with the tip of my golden cowherd boy stick, I will hold up this hill. You can relax and be happy." And meanwhile, Mother Yashoda, "Oh, my darling son, you are so impudent and so restless due to your uncontrolled senses. For so many years, we have peacefully performed Indra Puja. And this year, you caused a great disturbance by displeasing the demigods. There can never be auspiciousness." And then she very lovingly touched Krishna's hand. And she said, "Oh, Gopal, my darling son, your hand is as soft as fresh butter. And Govardhan Hill is very hard and very heavy." Then Yashoda Mai, with tears of love in her eyes, she began to pray to Sri Giri Govardhan. She said, "Oh, most compassionate Govardhan Hill, please answer my prayer. Please fulfill my desire. Please become very soft and very light. Float on the finger of my child so that he does not feel any distress." And Madhu Mangal, he said, "Oh, Ma, don't speak like this. If it wasn't for that insignificant Indra becoming angry, we would not all be here together enjoying the festival of nectar, seeing Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. Sri Giriraj Maharaj ki." Yashoda Mai did not appreciate that like you did. She said, "Oh, bold one, Madhu Mangal, lifting a heavy load is never sweet. What are you saying? Look at my son. He's pale. He's trembling. He's tired. His beautiful lotus face looks like a lotus flower that has been withered by the snow. How is it possible for a mother to tolerate such a hardship as this?" And Krishna, he smiled at his mother and said, "Oh, mother,
said, nothing could be more fun than this. Giriraj is floating. He has no weight. By the compassionate, loving mercy of Giriraj, he is floating on my finger. He's just using me as an instrument just to stand here. Mother Yashoda said, how can it be that after all of these hours you are still not tired? If it is true what you are saying, then I want to see Giriraj, I want to see Govardhan float in the sky. Maru Mangal. Yashoda said, I want to see Giriraj fly around in the sky. And Maru Mangal said, do not be afraid, Mother. Giriraj sits on the lotus hand of Krishna by my brahminical powers. Therefore, because I am chanting mantras, he feels no pain. And Yashoda replied, O impudent one, my heart burns in motherly love and you are making jokes? My Krishna is so independent, he does not take guidance from anyone. Nanda Maharaj then intervened. And he said to Yashoda Mai, why are you scolding Batu? He's speaking very nicely. At times like this, we have to be a little diplomatic. Maru Mangal is trying to encourage Krishna, and Krishna's very happy hearing his words. Besides that, Krishna needs the encouragement of his friends. All the Brijavasis gazed upon the Tribhanga, threefold fending form of Sri Krishna. And they all were speaking very loudly, something that they rarely ever did. All the different camps of Brijavasis, the young gopis, the older gopis, the gopas, they were loudly expressing their deep appreciation for Krishna's beauty in public. All of the residents of Vrindavan were loudly praising Krishna's beauty. One Vrijavasi said, look, in Krishna's left hand he is holding Govardhan Hill on one finger. And now with his right hand he's placing his flute to his beautiful lotus-like lips. And now he's playing a beautiful song with his flute. Krishna smiled and with one hand was playing melodies with his flute that were enchanting the hearts of each devotee. And Madhu Mangal, he became very much worried. He said, oh, protector of your friends, please put down your flute. Do not play your flute. If you play your flute, Giriraj might become ecstatic and fall off your finger, and then we will all be finished. Because we have all seen, when you play your flute, mountains turn into rivers and rocks turn into, and mountains turn into rivers and rivers become still like stone. And then another cowherd boy said, yes, what Madhu Mangal is saying is true. If Krishna continues to play his flute, Govardhan Hill will melt into a river and then Giriraj will be the cause of all of our destruction. And then all the cowherd boys began to pray, oh, Govardhan, oh, Giriraj, please, please, maintain your composure. Be patient. And another cowherd boy says, Govardhan will maintain his composure. Let us just enjoy the sound of Krishna's flute. One Brijavasi, one of the gopis, turned to Srimati Radharani and said, oh, Sri Radharani, your face is so beautiful. Please do not allow your eyebrows to dance
because if Krishna sees that, his hand will shake and the hill may fall. Radharani and Gopis were speaking to each other words of love, just describing the extraordinary beauty of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. And one Sakhi told to Sri Radharani, because Krishna is gazing upon you, there are tears in his eyes, and his limbs are trembling, and there's perspiration. But the cowherd men don't understand this. They think that these symptoms are coming because Krishna's tired. Therefore, look, they are all now putting their sticks under Govardhan Hill, thinking that they're helping him. But they don't know that it's actually your gaze upon Krishna that is empowering him to lift Govardhan Hill. Srimati Radharani looked on the ground, and then she gazed upon Krishna with a beaming glance that was like a shower of nectar that gave Krishna ultimate pleasure as he lifted Govardhan Hill and trembled. And as he was trembling, yes, all the cowherd men were putting sticks under the hill, thinking that they were holding the hill. And Madhu Mangal started laughing at them. Madhu Mangal said, all of you are just scratching the bottom of the hill. You don't understand that my friend Krishna is the brother of Lord Balaram. He needs no other people's help to do what he wants to do. And Krishna, he told the gopas, he said, no, don't laugh at these cowherd men. Out of parental love, out of fatherly affection, they are trying to serve me. Please do not disturb their mood of love. Let them hold their sticks. And then he said, but I am not the least bit tired. Yashoda Mai said, an entire day passed, and you have not eaten anything, Gopal. You must be afflicted by hunger. Look, your face is dried up, your belly is caved in, and even the cows are aggrieved. They won't eat grass until you eat something, Krishna. Please, stop playing your flute, and I will feed you. I made some nice soft cakes with yogurt. Please enjoy it. And Madhu Mangal again spoke. He said, what your mother speaks is correct. You must follow what your mother teaches you. And besides that, I am also very disturbed by hunger. And Krishna looked at Yashoda Mai and said, that I do not feel that I have even been holding Govardhan for even a moment. But if you like, you can feed me. So these are the wonderful pastimes that were taking place under Govardhan Hill. Now we will hear about what was happening above. Indra was absolutely furious. Yes. Buffaloes are even participating in Krishna's lila. Indra's pounding the mountain with thunderbolts and high winds and torrents of rain. Prabhupada explains that it wasn't drops, it was columns, pillars of water just pouring down at high speed. And yet, on top of Govardhan Hill, the deers and the birds were just going branch to branch singing nice songs, and the deers were just looking up. There was no distress. This angered Indra so much. He was screaming at the Samvartaka clouds to do their work harder. And the Samvartaka clouds, in fear of Indra, with all of their might, with all of their strength, were just doing everything to devastate Vrindavan. Meanwhile, there was another type of storm going on underneath Govardhan Hill. Krishna was like a rain cloud. And his peacock feather was like a rainbow. The gopis were like lightning. And Krishna's beauty was like the rain that was showering upon the Vrijabhasis with the love of his beautiful form. By the mercy of Giriraj, all the Vrijabhasis were immersed in endless happiness. It was a special time. It was the only time when everyone in Vrindavan could be with Krishna 24 hours a day, feeling the love of his glance. And although Krishna was standing there playing upon his flute and lifting the Govardhan Hill, with his glance, with his smiles, he was perfectly reciprocating with each one of his devotees, and each of his devotees were offering their full love to Krishna in that situation. Those in Santaras, they were like Rattak and Patrak, they were rendering various services to Krishna. Dasyaras. The Brahmins in Santaras, they were offering blessings and chanting mantras for the protection of Krishna. And those in Sakyaras were joking with Krishna and laughing with Krishna, and Subal was encouraging Krishna. And those in the elder gopis, gopas, they were smelling Krishna's head and just offering beautiful prayers to Narayan for the protection of Krishna. And the gopis, simply through their gaze, were just bringing that beautiful form deeper and deeper and deeper into the cores of their heart, where they embraced him with their love. However, Yashodamai and some of the other older gopis were very sad. They could not tolerate seeing Krishna in this situation. In their ecstasy of love, Mother Yashoda, Krishna, you are so hungry. Please, put down your flute and eat this nice tambula that I have made for you, that I know you like very much. And then she turned to Subal and said, Subal, please put this in Krishna's mouth. Subal, with his left hand, held Krishna's flute, and with his right hand was putting the tambula in Krishna's mouth to eat. And for the pleasure of Yashodamai, Krishna smiled and was chewing upon the tambula. And then Mother Yashoda smiled. Her heart was very much pacified. But Indra was not pacified. He was so furious. He was just literally on his elephant, just ordering and screaming and terrorizing the Samvartaka clouds, that if they were not successful, you know what that would mean. So the Samvartaka clouds just extended all of their energies until there was nothing left. They were so totally exhausted. They just all came to Indra and fell at his feet and said, we're defeated. There's nothing else we can do. Now that made Indra even more determined. Then he personally took on himself with all of his force and all of his assembly of helpers, just created immense winds to blow Govardhan off Krishna's little finger. But they couldn't. And Indra, thunderbolt after thunderbolt after thunderbolt. It was like the grand finale of the storm. It went on for 7 days and 7 nights continuously. And when Indra looked to see what damage he had done, there was not, of all the millions of trees on Govardhan Hill, with all of his powers, he was not able to disconnect a single leaf from the trees. He was not able to even bend a single blade of grass out of the countless panes of glass.
He was not able to even cause the slightest cry from any of the animals. They were all singing in bliss. Why? Because Giriraj is Haridas Bharya, the greatest servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. He was in ecstasy. The gigantic mountain Giri Govardhan, in one little part, was the tip of Krishna's little finger. And just the touch of Krishna's little tip finger was bringing him so much ecstasy that his whole body was transcendental to anything Indra or anyone else could do. Indra, those 7 days seemed like 7 millenniums. But for the Vrijabhasis, they seemed like the 7 most joyful hours of their life. Indra surrendered. He ran out of all strength. He gave up. The rain stopped. The sun began to shine. And Krishna told Vrijabhasis, now you may all return home. Bring the cows and the calves. So all the Vrijabhasis, they were very happy that the storm had ended. But they also very sad that they had to go home. But it was Krishna's will. So they left. First the elder gopis and the elder gopas, and then the young gopis. As they were walking out, they kept looking back at Krishna and looking back at Krishna and looking back at Krishna and just gazing upon him with great love. It was very difficult for them to leave after 7 days of non-stop gazing upon the beautiful form of Shamsundar, Giridhari. And then the gopas were herding the cows out. And after they came out from the umbrella of Govardhan, all the cows, they could not give up Krishna's association. They just went against the wish of all the gopas and ran back and gathered around Krishna. And then Giridhari, while lifting Govardhan Hill, with his eyes, herded the cows out from under Giri Govardhan. Then the Lord placed Giri Govardhan back onto the ground, just as he was previous. And when Krishna came out, all the Vrijabhasis, according to their particular love, welcomed him. Nanda Maharaj embraced him and smelled his head with great affection. Balaram embraced him and was weeping tears of affection. All the gopas were embracing him and joking with him and congratulating him. And Yashodamai, she massaged with motherly affection, she put Krishna on her lap and massaged his left arm and kissed it again and again and again to bring it relief. And Mother Rohini offered aarti to Giridhari. The elder gopis offered blessings. The Brahmins offered boons. And again the gopis, they worshipped Krishna by a little distance away, embracing him within their hearts. Then the gopas approached Nanda Maharaj. There's a beautiful chapter in Krishna book, which Prabhupada entitled, Wonderful Krishna, where they're extolling the incredible activities of Krishna. When he was just a little infant baby, he killed Putana. And when he was only 3 months old, Sakatasura. And when he was only 1 year old, Trinavarta. And then later on, when he was just about 3 years old, Batsasura, and Bakasura, and Agasura. How is it that Krishna can perform such wonderful activities? And Nanda Maharaj
again revealed the words of Gargamuni, that your son will have powers like Narayan himself, and he will always protect his devotees, the Brijabasis. Krishna then went around this area just to inspect how all of the trees and leaves and how Giri Govardhan was. And at that time, as we spoke yesterday, Indra, along with Surabhi, came before him. With the appeal of Surabhi, Krishna accepted Indra's forgiveness. And Indra realized how opulence in the form of beauty, strength, high birth, knowledge could be great disqualifications. Janmaishwarya Shrutishubhir Edamana Madhapuman. Bhagavatam tells like this. Everyone in this world wants to be of a respectable position in society. People want wealth. People want beauty. People want strength. People want to be seen as learned. But Kunti Devi said these are great disqualifications because they make you proud. And when there's false pride, it spoils your devotional service. Nothing you do can really be pleasing to Krishna if it is done with false pride. Unless we're humble. Trinadapi sunichena turo ibasi hishnana. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Unless we're really living by these principles, we cannot feelingly call out Krishna's holy name. Indra is a devotee, and we should understand that he's a very, very special devotee. I mean, how many of us, when we become proud, does Krishna lift Govardhan Hill and perform a leela that people are going to talk about for the rest of eternity? Indra is a special devotee. I mean, for Krishna to take so much trouble to resolve his problem, his disease of pride, means he's very dear to Krishna. What's our position? We become proud and, you know, we just fall down. Krishna protected Indra, so he's a very exalted person. But most of all, he wanted to teach the world through Indra. He wanted to teach the world that we should not worship the demigods. We should respect and honor the demigods, but we should understand that Krishna is the cause of all causes. And by satisfying Krishna, devarshi bhutapti nirnam pitrinam nakinkara nayam ninicharajan saravatmana yasharanam sharanyam gato mukundam parijityakaratam. When we worship Mukunda, then we have fulfilled all our obligations to all the demigods, all of our forefathers, all the rishis and sages and everyone else. Because he is Sarvakaranam, he is the cause of all causes. So Krishna wanted to teach exclusive devotional service to him and not to divert our attention to any other rituals to anyone else. That is one of the great lessons of Govardhan Puja. And another great lesson is that however great and powerful we are, Krishna does not tolerate pride. It will spoil our relationship with him. Therefore, as Mahaprabhu taught, in the spirit of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, giving all respect to others and expecting none in return. With that aspiration, Krishna will very pleasingly reciprocate with us and appear within our heart and cleanse all of our anartas when we feelingly chant his name. Please very loudly and feelingly chant the Holy. Shri Giriraj Maharaj Ki. Radha Kund Prabhu would like to speak something about the ants of Brajbhumi.
On our parikrama today, we've stepped over a few colonies, and it reminded me of a time when Krishna was feeling a little melancholy. He could not get a smile on his face. So the gopis, they tried to get a smile on his face by beginning with a nice dance, and they were dancing very nicely. But Krishna would not get the smile on his face. So the boys, they tried doing some juggling and some magic tricks and some jokes, and Krishna still wouldn't get a smile on his face. So Madhav Mangal, he comes along and he says, "Glories to the ants of Vrindavan! Glories to the ants of Vrindavan!" So everybody's looking, and Krishna says, "Why are you saying like this?" And he says, "When you take prasadam, a little crumb may fall from your mouth, and it will be a feast for the ants. And they live in the ground of Braj Raj. Glories to the ants of Vrindavan." So the gopis, they got a little upset. They say, "Why do you get this dumb thing here, Madhav Mangal? Our dancing was so nice. The jokes and the juggling of the boys was so nice. Why did you smile at that dumb story?" So Krishna says, "When you were dancing, you were expecting me to point you out. And you were juggling and you wanted me to point you out. But Madhav Mangal, he picked the most insignificant animal to glorify. Glories to the ants of Vrindavan." Thank you very much.
Now we will continue parikrama. Our next stop will be Uddhava Kund, where we will also hear from Danadhar Maharaj and Malati Devi Prabhu.